Good morning, great morning to you, and thanks for being a part of this broadcast this morning. I believe you've had a wonderful night, or you're about to have one, depending on your time zone. Thanks for always tuning in. Thanks for joining in. Welcome to the Morning Faith Boost. That was Holy Spirit by Martin PK. I just might use the song the rest of the week. I believe it's a lovely, pretty much lovely song. Okay, so we're learning or talking about the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us. And this is God's gift to us. It's easy to understand it, being said this way. Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church, because God, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit if you do not have Jesus. All right, and Jesus made that clear in John chapter 14. Say the world cannot receive him, the world cannot perceive him, the world, they cannot. All right, so you cannot. So you receive Jesus first. So it's easy to understand it the way I just said it. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. All right, and then Jesus is God's gift to the world. You understand that? It's after one has received Jesus, all right, then you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't even receive Jesus without the help of a Holy Ghost, all right? I'm just making it, easy, all right? So if someone who's not born again says, oh, can I have the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, you can, but you have to believe. I'm sure you get where I'm going. You have to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he did for you. Yes, all that happens by the conviction of the Holy Ghost, but it's not that you are directly needing to receive the Holy Ghost at that point. In fact, it's the Holy Ghost that baptizes anybody who is born again. All right, or the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's what gets you born again. You are born of the Holy Ghost, but it's not the Holy Ghost you are receiving. You are receiving what Jesus, accepting what Jesus has done for you, confessing him as Lord over your life. So that's what the world needs. Jesus is the gift of God to the world. You understand that? All right. So I believe it's clearer. I also thought I should mention that. So one important thing we're learning now, which we've looked at, is Jesus has laid the importance of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 16 and the 17th verse, he said, "It is expedient for you that I go away, that if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. If I do not go away, he will not come." All right, but if someone says, "Oh, I really wish that I were here, all right, when Jesus was alive, I believe I would have had a great time. I would have had a great life. My life would have been meaningful." If you were in Nigeria or in America or wherever else you might be right now, you really wouldn't even know that Jesus was alive because he was in Jerusalem, all right? He wasn't all over the world. There was no media, all right, carrying the news of his presence all over the world. No. Right, so many times, so I wish I was alive when Jesus was alive. If you were alive when Jesus was alive, you wouldn't have heard the gospel. All right, you wouldn't have heard the gospel. You wouldn't have known he was alive because he would have been in Jerusalem doing the things he did. All right, no newspaper, no radio, no TV, no internet. So he would be in Jerusalem doing the stuff. You understand that? So this is the best time to be alive. This is now when the Spirit of Jesus, yes, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, this is when he is everywhere. He can be without media still. Yes, he can now, all right, bring the life of Jesus to all of us. And then we can receive the very presence, all right, of Jesus. We don't have to physically be with Jesus to have the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit communicates to us the very, very, very presence of Jesus Christ. All right. So I believe that's also very clear. Yesterday we ended at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I said today that we're going to pick it up from there. So 1 Corinthians 3, the 16th verse of 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually?" Now, this is one of the biggest statements in the whole Bible. There are a number of them, really. But this is big. I mean, that the Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you. He now says, all right, collectively as a church, but also individually. So it's easy to understand that, oh, when we gather as a group of believers, okay, so the Holy Ghost is present there. All right, but no, Bible says beyond that, even you as an individual person, all right, as a person, the Holy Ghost lives in you and he has his permanent dwelling inside you. He lives in you. He has his permanent dwelling in you. Oh, it's big, all right? I mean, it's easy to say, all right, hey, God lives in me, God lives in me. Yeah, I do that too. But I'll be very sincere with you that these thoughts are deep, all right? They call for a lot of meditation. I'll be sincere with you that sometimes I pick these verses as easy to memorize and, you know, and all of that they might be. And I take some time. And I want to encourage you. I said that earlier in the week. Please, if you can, and I know that you can, please take moments of your day and just meditate, right? Take moments, whether 15 minutes or something, take moments of your day and meditate. All right, maybe it's the greater one that is on my inside. All right, well, just meditate on that the Holy Ghost lives in me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. He lives in me. He's a greater one in me. I'd encouraged us on that. And I want to encourage us on that again. So please notice the Bible is saying he has his permanent dwelling in me. Wow. The Holy Spirit lives in me permanently. The Holy Spirit lives in me permanently. The Holy Spirit lives in me. In me. Yes, in me. Permanently. The Holy Spirit is in me. He lives in me. He is at home in me. He is at home in me permanently. Permanently. I mean, you think of that. And there may be certain things are not working right in your body. You could apply. Say, the Holy Ghost lives in me. Therefore, this is dissolved. Therefore, this is healed. Therefore, this, you know, therefore that you're applying. The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. Therefore, I have wisdom. You apply. You could apply it because it's not in you, you know, as an item in a show glass or a showcase or a showroom. All right, he's in you as a well, and then he's in you as a mighty river. All right, he's the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. He lives in you. So if he's in you permanently, then there's a lot more, you know, that must be going on right inside of you. He's at home in you. I love to call your remembrance to Obed-Edom and how that he accommodated the Ark of the Covenant for 3 months. Bible lets us know that Obed-Edom prospered. He did. He greatly prospered for accommodating the Ark for 3 months. Now you've got the Holy Ghost, not just in your house. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that made the Ark special. Nothing else. You now have the Holy Ghost living permanently inside of you. Your life indeed must be flourishing. Because you are now that one, like the Bible says, planted by the rivers of water. The Holy Ghost is the river of water. Now you have that river of life, that river of water, permanently within you. That's what Jesus was saying in John 4. He said to the woman, if you drink this water, John 4:14, that I give you, you will never thirst again. And this water that I give you will be in you a well of water springing up, not a tap that you open and you close. It's a well springing up to everlasting life, consistently flowing. It's a well of water. It's the well of life. That's the presence of the Holy Ghost in us. Can we say that again? The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. The Holy Ghost lives in me. To value what you're saying, you have to understand who he is. And like I said again, quoting Romans 8:11 earlier, he is the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. That means in me, in you is resurrection power. In me, in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the more we drink into these thoughts, it gets deeper. The more we drink into it, it gets stronger. It gets deeper. He gets deeper. Allow me go to John 16:7, Amplified, and then I'll come back here because I want to point at a thought we're running with quickly today. John 16 and the 7th verse, you know, of John 16. So Jesus is speaking and he said, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, strengthener, intercessor, standby will not come to you. Please notice in parentheses now, into close fellowship with you. Into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So what Jesus and the Father want to happen within us and the Holy Ghost is close fellowship. Close fellowship. And this word fellowship is one of the biggest words in the entire Bible. Fellowship is one of the greatest revelations in the New Testament because it communicates many deep thoughts, one of which is this. You cannot fellowship with a being, or rather a creature, that is not of the same class with you. You can't fellowship with a plant. You might love your plant, water your plant, sing to your plant, but you cannot have fellowship with your plant. You might love your dog or your fish, and then you pet your dog, run with your dog, roll with your dog. You know, you could, you know, have to, you know, feed your fish, you know, gist, and then come back and stand beside the aquarium or the glass bowl, and then talk to your fish and tell your fish how your day went. You know, you could make your dog lie down on your bed, but you cannot have what is called fellowship. All right? So it takes beings of a similar class to fellowship. So man can fellowship with man. All right? We speak, the other person understands, comprehends, speaks back to us. All right? We see birds flying and then they fellowship with themselves. We see dogs, you know, hanging out. Yeah, they can fellowship because they are of the same class. All right? God and man are not of the same class. But then God now says he wants man to fellowship with him. It means that God actually made man as near to his image as possible. Because man is man, God is God. But God made man in the beginning, if you understand, within his image. And we understand from scripture that God made man for fellowship. That means even original man was created as near as possible to the very class of God. That means originally there wasn't supposed to be that much of a distinction, far away distinction between the God class and the man class. Because yes, there would be men and then there is God. Men won't be God. All right. But then God and man could fellowship. Like God came to visit Adam in the cool of the day. God and man could fellowship. That was broken by the fall of man. And then Jesus is saying, I've come to bring fellowship. I've come to bring intimacy between man and divinity. I've come to bring fellowship. So he's saying in John, 16:7, I'm using the Amplified today. All right. I want the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to come into close fellowship with you. That if I go away, I will send him to be in close fellowship with you. So we'll go to 1 Corinthians, and then we'll spend, the rest of the broadcast in Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 9th verse of 1 Corinthians. We're using the Amplified, all right? And then we're spending the time in Corinthians today. And I want you to notice the use of the word fellowship, or either the use of it or alluding to it in Corinthians, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 9th verse, it says, God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, therefore ever true to his promise and can be dependent on all that is in parentheses, Amplified amplifies it, all right? He now says, by him you were called into companionship and participation with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. These two words of companionship and participation, the King James just says, you're called into fellowship. Fellowship. That one word. But it's big. All right. Amplify says companionship. Participation. All right. This is big. It means God called you and I to be companions with him. To participate with him. All right. A boss is not a companion. All right, a Lord and a Master is not a companion. Now, he is Lord and Master. He is King of all kings. But he now brought us into fellowship, into companionship. Doesn't this quickly remind you maybe of how that Enoch walked with God? There's that companionship. And that's why when we teach prayer, we say, hey, prayer is primarily this fellowship, because your life as a Christian is called to fellowship. All other things ought to spring from there. Your ministry, your service, everything springs. Fellowship is key. And that's where prayer, that's where praise and worship, that's where meditation, that's where all these things that inspire fellowship, that will draw you more to him in thoughts, and everything. This is where they come in. So Bible says you are called. Okay, so this is a calling, your call. Someone says, but I don't know my calling. You're called to fellowship. The truth is, that's really the beginning. When you spend time in fellowship, you will know the other callings. You will know the other seasons and faces and assignments God will have for you. First calling, fellowship. First calling, fellowship. First calling, fellowship. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. So remember what we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 3:16? Okay. It says to us, do you not discern and understand that the whole church at Corinth, right, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling? He's not in you like an item in a showcase or a show glass or a showroom. He's in you, alive in you, ready to talk to you, fellowship with you. He's in you. He has become one with you. These things are lewd. Fellowship is not written yet, but it's clear here. I mean, what's a temple for? A temple is a place of worship where you commune with the divine one. That means the Holy Ghost is now in you. God is now in you for communication. Permanently. So we don't sing, come and make my heart your home. No, your heart is his home. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. The day you got born again, You became their home. Oh, if you feel there are things you're doing or thoughts you're thinking that is not making the home conducive, then adjust. That's your home. That's God's home. The day you got born again, the Holy Ghost moved into you. He moved into you. He moved into you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He is in you permanently. Permanently. Okay, we'll go run quickly to the 6th chapter and then the 17th verse. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, but the person who is united to the Lord, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. This again is union. This again is communication. This again is participation. This again is partnership. Whoever is united to the Lord becomes one spirit. Oh dear, this is deep. That means your spirit and the Holy Ghost have been fused together into one. If these things were not written in the Bible, they would be hard to say. But it's clear in scripture, so we have to believe it. We have to mix it with faith and say, I believe. Even when your thoughts come and say, sure, you've been saying that thing for a while. I believe it. I am united with the Lord. I am one spirit with him. He and I are in fellowship. He and I are in fellowship. And the more you focus on the fellowship, on the mindset of the fellowship, it grows. Your level of depth of relationship, your level of intimacy with him, he grows. The 19th verse of the same 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. Remember, we're teaching the Holy Ghost as a gift. So he says here, he's a gift. God's great gift. But he now says again, like what chapter 3 had said, that you are the temple. But chapter 3 says you are the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. Now chapter 6, 19 says your body is the very, guys, in parentheses, in Amplified, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He's at home. Oh, you go to the house. You go to the office. You go to the mall. All right, you go to the gym, you're somewhere in the market or the school, all right, you're somewhere in the bus, you're somewhere, you know, on the road, you know, wherever he is with you. Oh, this is beautiful. He lives permanently in you. Our lives must be full of grace. Our lives must flourish. The one in me is the mighty one. He's the one who hovered upon the earth before God spoke in Genesis 1. He was the one who anointed Elisha, anointed Elijah, anointed Samson, anointed the judges to do their work. He helped the kings. He is the one, the greater one. And now he is at home in me permanently. Oh my goodness, who am I? What am I? How could we carry such a person? Guys, it requires meditation, and this is enough for praise and thanksgiving. Know that Kenneth Hagin would always say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And lately, really, in the last maybe couple of what now, having to just meditate again and again on his presence, on his ministry, you just really understand better and just say, wow, thank God for the Holy Ghost. So I hope you're taking note of these verses we're reading, because they build these thoughts and they build it well. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. We'll end on 1 Corinthians again. Oh, go to 2 Corinthians. All right, I know you know it, but I need you to see it, right, in the light of what we're teaching, which is actually the light of what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter, all right, 13 and the 14th verse, right? Most of us have had to say this every service as it ends, right? And maybe you say it, you know, very many other places. But 2 Corinthians 13 and the 14th verse says, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing, in bracket, parenthesis, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence, and fellowship, now in bracket, the communion, and sharing together, and participation of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. So I'll take that again, the grace, in bracket now, favor and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the presence and fellowship. So it breaks down fellowship. Because fellowship is a deep word. Fellowship is not just we met at a party, we shook hands, and we took picture together. No. Fellowship is you bring the depth of your thoughts and share. And then the other person brings the depths. Fellowship communicates doing something together. Fellowship is eating together, but eating together likely from the same pot, from the same bowl. Fellowship, it's depth, it's not surface. So it says the communion, the sharing together, the participation in the Holy Ghost be with you all. That means there's a fellowship once again. Communion, depth, where he shares his thoughts. You share yours, depth. This, oh dear Lord, my mind goes again to Enoch. He walked with God. There must have been a depth of communication. There must have been serious communion. And this is possible. Sharing together. Participation. And which is what our lives are all about. If you read the Gospel of John, you realize Jesus always saying, my Father is with me. My Father never left me. He never leaves me. My Father is with me. I and my Father are one. My Father is with me. The miracles I do them by my Father. I do not do anything except what I see my Father do. I don't say anything except what I see my Father say. That union, that communication, that communion, that participation, that partnership. When God calls you to ministry, it's not, oh, you just called me. No, you're with him. When God sends you on an assignment, you are with him. He is with you. You're together. Jesus didn't just say the Father sent me. He also said the Father is with me. The Father never leaves me. I and the Father, we are one. Oh, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Communion with the Holy Ghost. Communion, take time in your day. It could be 15 minutes and meditate. The Holy Ghost lives in me permanently. And then don't just say it like you're talking about someone so distant. You could switch and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You live in me permanently. Listen, we do not pray to the Holy Ghost, but we can talk to the Holy Ghost. All right, he talks to us. We could talk back to him. All right, prayer is basically to the Father in the name of Jesus, okay? So we don't pray to the Holy Ghost, but we can talk to the Holy Ghost. Oh, the communion of the Holy Ghost. It's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. So I said we'll come back to 1 Corinthians, and then we end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You've heard me use it, but you're still really going to hear me use it a whole lot. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, quickly from verse 9, says, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. All right, verse 10, right, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed what these plans are by and through his Spirit. Please watch this. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and hidden things, all right, that are beyond human scrutiny. So the Holy Ghost basically goes into the very, 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 very depths of God. He knows everything God is thinking. Verse 11, all right, says, for what man perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him. That's clear, right? Just so no one discerns, comes to know and comprehends the thoughts of God except the Holy Ghost. Nobody can know what you are thinking except your spirit. Nobody can know what God is thinking except God's spirit. Please understand this. Verse 12. Now we have received the spirit that, all right, no. Now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, but we've received the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we may realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. So the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Your spirit knows your mind. Bible now says you have received the Holy Ghost. Do you remember the 1 Corinthians 6:17 we read earlier? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You are now joined with the person that knows all the thoughts of God. This is deep stuff. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, the one who raised up Jesus from the dead, the one who knows the very mind of God, now lives in me permanently. He lives in me permanently. It means I have a fruitful day. I have a day filled with light. I have a day filled with life. I have resurrection power in me. Sickness and diseases and viruses and germs, they cannot last on my body. They do not stay on my body. I enjoy healing. I enjoy wholeness because the same spirit that raised up from the dead now lives in me permanently. I'm full also of light and counsel because the counselor lives in me permanently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe that blessed you. I believe that was helpful. I believe that was useful. Please spend time meditating. 15 minutes at the minimum. Please stretch yourself. 15 minutes at the minimum on these great riches, on these great realities. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. God gave us the one who knows all that is on his mind, the one who would interpret to us what Jesus has done. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Just have a great time meditating, and I will see you tomorrow. Bless.